So it's obviously no coincidence that tonight our theme is the adventure of spiritual fatherhood. But I just want to explain a bit about what this theme is really about, where it came from. And it's really about this verse that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." So what the Apostle Paul is talking about there is that these new Christians that he's writing to have a bunch of people around them who he calls guardians, or other translations will call it teachers. A lot of people around them who are willing to offer advice or counsel or some aspect of teaching. But what they didn't have was someone who would really, as a father, put their arm around them and walk with them and share their life with them. And so Paul is saying, "I have become your father through the gospel, because I was the one who introduced you to Jesus, who helped you grow as a disciple of Jesus." And so that's what spiritual fatherhood is about. It's about coming alongside, walking with someone in their discipleship of Jesus. Now, that can happen in the context of a natural family, and that's what our Paul is going to be talking about in a moment. That can happen in the context of a church, and that's what Neil, our elder, is going to be talking about after Paul. And it can also happen in the context of mentoring relationships, and so that's what Lawson is going to be sharing about. So that's how this is going to work. We're going to hear three different perspectives on this spiritual fatherhood. So first up, we have Paul.
And thank you, Andrew. And a big happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. I trust you've had a really great day. I'm just going to give you a really quick insight from my message this morning. I was really privileged to give that message on spiritual fatherhood. So this is real short, bite-sized little reflection. But if you'd like to see more of my thoughts and reflections in this moment, please make sure that you watch our AM service. But I have three boys, and I love being a dad. I love being a hands-on dad. Zach and Caleb and Micah. In fact, when we started at CBC, we didn't even have Micah. It's been a real joy to watch my boys actually grow up. Early on in my parenting, I had an experience that set a metaphor for my adventure in spiritual fatherhood. And that was when I was in that wonderful moment where we were pregnant with Caleb. We were in the ultrasound, 20-week ultrasound, with the wonderful lady that has a magical wand that makes your child appear on the screen. Zach was about 3 at that time, and he was in a stroller, and I was rocking him. I gave him some tiny teddies just to pacify him. And the lady's going through Caleb and all his fingers and toes and all his vital organs, and I'm just waiting to get to the sex of the child. And honestly, the lady with the magic wand, she's about to get to the sex of the child, and a violent moment happened. Zach went off color, and he literally projectile vomited. It went across my line of sight and was heading straight for the face of the lady, and I did this ninja Kill Bill father moment where I cupped my hands and I grabbed hold of it, and it's like oozing through my fingers, and the lady says, "Oh, it's a boy." And I was thinking, "Oh, great, another one." You know, that moment for me was a metaphor, because it was really reflective of both the joy and the mess of parenting. They go hand in hand. The joy of parenting was seeing Caleb, listening to his heartbeat, the most amazing gift of being able to create a child. That's the wonderful joy. But obviously the mess was self-explanatory. And in our parental journey, no matter how old your kids are, there seems to be varying degrees of great joy and great mess. And what I just want to do is just reflect very, very briefly about some of the moments that I've shared in the joy and the mess of parenting. Without a doubt, I believe it really starts as we invite God into our spiritual parenting. There's a really great verse that comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, that God, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. I really love this last part. He gently leads those that have young. God gently leads us. And so we want to invite him in so that he can lead us in our spiritual parenting. For my boys, I've really just invested into these three key areas, into their emotional formation, into their relational formation, and into intentional discipleship. Each of these is such a seminar on their own, and please make sure you see the sermon from this morning because I really go a little bit deeper. But I'm going to give you a really quick highlights package from each of these. The emotional formation of my boys is really seen in my presence. I believe it's absolutely key that we are hands-on and present in the lives of our kids. This great verse from Isaiah reads this way for us. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, God says. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And I think the next verse there is, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You see, when we walk through the deep waters, when we go through the refining fire, God says, I'll be with you. God is with us in our fellowship of Jesus. So in our spiritual parenting, it's key for us to be present in the emotional formation of our kids. So what does that look like for us to be hands-on and present in their emotional resilience deep within their soul? Well, I've been really turning to John Eldridge, and John Eldridge has some really good insights. He believes that every young girl has this question, Dad, do you see me? And every young boy has, Dad, do you believe I can make it? So for a young girl, it's really about, Dad, do you see me in this dress when she's parading around in front of you? That's your chance to say, wow, you look beautiful in that dress. Or as your daughter grows up, you need to see your daughter when she does something really spectacular that you would label that praise. I see you, darling. That is critical for their emotional resilience and development. And for a boy, it's, Dad, do you believe that I can make it? And I see this in my own boys. My number two son, Caleb, he's really good at mountain biking and cross country. It was only last week when I was riding alongside of him, about to go into a technical trail, and I said, Caleb, I really believe that you can do this. The pace that he set on that next trail was absolutely incredible because he knew that his dad believes that he can make it. And I believe, dads, this is really essential in the emotional formation of our kids. Now, when it comes to the relational formation, I think the absolute key word there is empathy. We want our kids to grow up with a very, very healthy dose of empathy in their soul. It's the key to meaningful relationships that they will share in life. Now, empathy is really this. It's the ability to understand and share in the feelings of another. And Jesus said these words to us as well. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Empathy is important, and to teach that into our kids. The way that I've simply done that is when my boys have been upset. I've never once said to my boys, stop crying, real men don't cry. That is so false. I want to say this, real men cry. We cry because we're emotional human beings and it's okay to cry. So when my boys have been upset, I've basically just said to them, I too would be upset if I lost my car, or I too would be upset if I missed out on that party, or I too would be upset if I couldn't climb that mountain. Just by me reflecting those statements, I have seen that that has built inside of them an empathetic way of viewing the world. But without a doubt, for their relational formation, this next little insight has been critical in my adventure of spiritual fatherhood. To say to my boys, I love you, I am proud of you, and I see that you are good at. That is so critical. And you know, you can do that. You may have adult children. I want to encourage you this week to go to your child and say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I see that you're good at. It's never, never too late to have a meaningful impact in our kids' lives, no matter how old they are. But without a doubt, intentional discipleship has certainly been what I'm most passionate about. I wish I could give a whole day seminar on this. I'm really passionate about this. But in really three key ways for me, I want to see my boys grow to really love Jesus. Train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. And I've really tried in many more than areas than this, but just in these three ways, I really just want my boys to know memory verses, for me to live a vibrant fellowship of Jesus and the stewardship of money. When it comes to memory verses, one memory verse that we have, I'm really concerned about what friends my boys will choose. One of our memory verses is, "He who walks with the wise grows wiser, but a group of foolish friends brings me harm." So we'll talk about what's a wise friend. Well, a wise friend, Proverbs 1 says, to respect and obey the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. So I encourage my boys to look for a wise friend, but don't just dismiss the foolish friend, but don't become such great friends with them that they ensnare you into their folly, because that'll bring you harm. So really, using memory verses, I've got about 18 memory verses. If you would like them, especially young dads, please email me and I'd love to email you the memory verses that my boys are learning. But I just love to live a vibrant fellowship of Jesus. When I see Jesus answer a prayer, share it with my boys. When I believe Jesus has spoken to me in some way, I'll share it to my boys. I want to live a vibrant fellowship of Jesus, because it's catchy. It's real catchy. And don't reduce the importance of stewarding our kids in such a way that they can handle money in a kingdom way. So basically, when the kids were a lot younger, we just had this little system of three jars of when we would give them pocket money, they would put some money in the give jar, give away, save and spend. So I want my boys to learn that they need to give money away, they need to save money, but they also need to spend money. And I believe this rhythm will serve them well once they become husbands and fathers themselves. So the emotional formation, relational formation, intentional discipleship is really key to our parenting. Because I really believe, last thought, I really believe in what Jesus says when it comes to the parable of the mustard seed. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Every intentional act is like a mustard seed that I'm trusting will grow a great big faith in my boys, that they would be emotionally resilient, they would have meaningful relationships, but that they would know and follow Jesus. There's no guarantees. But when my boys pack their bags and leave through the front door, I want to be able to say, I've done all that I can to show them how to follow Jesus in this world, choose friends wisely, and make really important decisions in life that will better their families as well. I trust that that's an encouragement for you. I'm going to invite Neil, who's one of our elders, to come on stage to really give a great reflection about being a spiritual dad to our church at CBC. Why don't you come and join with me, Neil? And thank you, and happy Father's Day. Can't wait to see you all very soon. God bless.
Thanks, Paul. Dads, it's a good day today.
I need the microphone.
It's a good day today. Church elder, it's not about me is the important part. The responsibility I have, I want to move people to care, nurture, support all of the CBC family. And the Holy Spirit has really been prompting me over the last few years to really love all people that He's made and created. And that's such a challenge, but there have been so many opportunities to be able to know God in such a deeper way. And that's what I want to share with each of you, is some snapshots of things that have led to more spiritual maturity in people. Taking an interest in each person's journey, even when they have different opinions to myself, I think it's important to be able to listen and respect each other if we want to go deeper in our relationships. And if we have deeper relationships, then we can share more openly and really be able to show who God is in real life. To build that unity in Christ is recognizing too, in terms of people, the gifting that you've given. God has given you a gifting for a purpose, and you don't want to see it wasted. You want to see the person that you can be is so much bigger than what you think. As we think in Ephesians 3:20, as far as God can do more than we can imagine or even ask. He doesn't want you to think small. There are so many possibilities, and where you see people in the Bible who Jesus has chosen to do something miraculous, they were the last person that they would have picked, because God can do the impossible. As far as knowing people, when we talk about church youth group, God planted on my heart the fact I don't want to know them as youth group. I want to know them as individuals. Each person is separate, individual, special identity. So getting to know their name, spending time with them, is the only way that's going to happen. So intentionally going and meeting in places where they are and doing projects together. As far as prayer, it is paramount throughout all. Throughout your daily tasks, throughout the small things, not just the big things when you get desperate, when you think, I can't handle this anymore. It is so vital to give God those small moments, because He will lead you step by step into bigger things, and you become more mature in how you go about things. And to be able to have discernment and godly wisdom, I know as an elder in the church, many times it is so great to have those high and joyous times, but there's also times where you need to get beside people when they're going through the hard stuff, when there's a lot of pain, when there are conflicts. We're human. It happens. And the important part is, we need to pray into that and let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives. And we need to show people biblically how to be able to resolve different things, how to be able to see past that moment and remind people as you're walking beside them in the midst of all that there's going on, and remind them of God's goodness, His promises, because it's very dark maybe at that place where they are. And they can't see some of those things, and they need people to get beside them and remind them of God's goodness and the past when He's helped. To be able to, the importance of Scripture can't be, it's paramount, like prayer. And I found life groups and disciple groups and areas like that where you can be yourself. You don't have to put on an act of someone else. You just be the person God wants you to be, and you can be open and honest with each other in following God's word. And those situations, I know recently something that was said in terms of Scripture groups, not just for information, but transformation. That is the important thing. What does Jesus teaching me now? And as far as encouragement, encouraging openly, freely, and generously, that is where your heart is in relationship with God. He is giving you generously. He is pouring out all His love for us. And that's what He wants to do with us from now until we meet Him again. So it is probably the last point here is something which I learnt, because my heart became so much for needs in the world that I was burdened so much to see so much where God needed come into it. And He just let me know that you can't be everywhere, Neil, but I want you somewhere. Do not settle for, it's too big. Ephesians 3:20, He can do more than you can imagine. And I'll hand you over to Lawson. He'll continue on.
It's always a distinct honor and privilege to bring a word of encouragement to my church family. I am so honored. And today, of all days, it seems strange to have an unmarried single man being giving something of worth on a day like today. Our passage today is Paul making a distinction between teachers and fathers. Teachers in the faith are common, says Paul. God bless them anyway, but apparently they're common. Fathers, not so common. Allow me to read out 1 Corinthians 4:15 to 16, which should be on the screen here. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Paul outlines what duties and patterns of life constitute spiritual fathering. He says, now I have fathered you in Christ Jesus through the gospel, therefore be imitators of me. What I believe Paul is referring to here is that fathering people in the gospel is a lived experience. It's a lived experience. It's not a here is the information. It's actually a come and live this out with me. Come and apply it, not just I want you to know it. My own father is an amazing man of God. I have been spiritually fathered well. I have great memories of waking up very early, and I'm talking 5 o'clock. I don't know if it was really necessary, but apparently Dad got up for work that early, and that's how early Dad and I would get up, and we'd sit down with Proverbs, and we'd read through Proverbs and some Psalms together, and we would enjoy that time. And there have been familiar rites of passage and a great groundwork of faith by him put down for me. I've also had other strong men of faith father me over the years. Among many others, Millard Sleeman, who I pastored alongside in Lebanon, he taught me about the necessary rhythms of daily prayer and reading the Word in order to lead well, to have something to offer, and to be a man of wisdom. You can't be an empty well or an empty cup. It has to be filled from somewhere. So it's only natural that I myself would observe this pattern of spiritual fathering and imitate those who taught me. So my own stumbling experiences of spiritual fathering really began on the 20th of November 2014. God had impressed upon me that I was to mentor someone. I had this strange urgency in my heart that I needed to replicate the faith that had been passed on to me. And I prayed that God would make that clear who it should be. Little did I know, Michaela Skian had also been praying for 6 months that someone would mentor Jake, then a young teenager just beginning high school with all its nastiness and challenges. The morning after I had prayed this, Michaela asked me to mentor Jake, which I took as a clear sign that God wanted me to be this person at this point in time. I had no idea what to do. Not the foggiest. No one had instructed me on how to mentor someone. But I had been mentored. I had some spiritual groundwork of faith. I had been spiritually fathered. I had a lived experience of going along with strong men of faith and seeing how they lived. Sometimes it was teaching, sometimes it was listening, but as I began the road of mentoring, I just imitated my mentors. And that meant bringing young Jake along on early morning landscape photography shoots, pre-dawn, freezing cold, but worth it moments that Jake's own Red Mission over the years says that these are times he greatly enjoyed. Our early mornings always ended in breakfast somewhere and a coffee and a hot chocolate and deep chats about God. And I would often be challenged to go and reread what I really thought I knew already. It kept me on my toes. Over the years, God has directed me to other young people who, either for a short time or for a long time, needed something. Sometimes that was just one catch-up, and other times that was long-term spiritual fathering, being an accountability partner or just a listening ear. That doesn't mean I'm perfect or that every mentoring relationship has worked out. Not by a long shot, unfortunately. Mentoring takes effort and emotional energy in order to go from the realm of instruction to the realm of spiritual fathering. There's a difference. Despite the effort required, spiritual fathering is, however, in my mind, the pinnacle of my Christian experience. People who aren't parents, whether you're young, single, or married without kids, who are listening right now, please hear this. As a person, without children, there's a prevailing ideology that we have less to offer in general, or that our voices have less weight in the church. Obviously, this is not an indictment on married people. And yet I believe there's this pervasive groupthink, even among people without children, that we don't have anything to offer in the way of raising up the next generation. In some ways, that would be correct. Ask me about the bedtime routines for a toddler, and I'll be completely out of my depth. Although I'm sure Jesse Mawson would be very quick on the little, like, texted in. If you asked him, he'd probably get it like that. Ask me how it feels to see your wife give birth, and I'll have no idea. Ask me what questions a 14 to 19-year-old has about faith. Actually, yes. After years of answering the same questions over and over, God, in his infinite mercy, has allowed me to be wise in this one area. Ask me how it feels to see someone you've mentored for years truly, fully commit themselves and their entire lives to God and see them change completely. Yes. Yes, I've seen that. I've laid on the floor and cried tears of joy over some of those I've mentored. Seeing them change and really love God is the pinnacle of my faith experience here on earth. I've been frustrated and had sleepless nights over some of them who are going through tough experiences and are backsliding. My encouragement to all of us is this: singles, married, or otherwise, God has people out there for you. That might be your own kids. Do it well. That might be someone else's kids. Do it by the leading of the Spirit, bringing them on a lived experience of how your faith works. That doesn't mean that they'll be younger than you either. God doesn't care. If you're willing, he will use you. God has people for you to raise up, and you have something to offer, whether you have kids or not. I'm going to hand it over to Andrew.
Well, that was awesome. So great to hear those different perspectives on spiritual fatherhood. And I was taking some notes there on my phone as they were speaking. And just to kind of recap where we've gone, Paul was talking about how spiritual fatherhood involves emotional, relational, and spiritual formation. And Neil talked about how it starts with God's love for people as individuals, and also that spiritual fathering involves prayer, sharing God's word, encouragement, coming alongside people. And then for Lawson, talking about how it's about being available. There's not necessarily a course that you can do, or it's not about a qualification, but drawing on your lived experience or really trusting that God will give you what you need for the situations and the relationships that he gives to you. So can I encourage you guys, as Lawson finished on that, we all have the opportunity to be involved in this great task of spiritual parenting. And again, it's not just about men, it's about women as well. It's not just about older people or younger people, it's all of us. We all have something to offer, something to contribute. And so why don't you think about who in your life might you have the opportunity to come alongside as a spiritual parent? For those of you who have your own children in a natural sense, are you spiritually parenting them? Are you taking that step, taking that responsibility to also grow them in their faith and prepare them for the years ahead? And so let's take a moment just to pray together. And see, especially for those of you who are like, I don't know about this. I don't know who I have the opportunity to come alongside. I don't really know what to do with all this. Like, I'm keen if there's someone, but I don't know. So why don't we just take a moment and pray and ask God to reveal to us his will and to give us the faith to step into it. So God, we do thank you. We thank you for the different perspectives that we've heard tonight. We thank you really for the privilege that it is that we might be involved in the spiritual formation, the spiritual fatherhood, the spiritual parenting of other believers. God, we pray that we would be faithful with that calling, For those who are already in a relationship in which they can spiritually parent, God, we ask that you would give them everything that they need, that they would be bold and trust you, that they would seek your wisdom and your revelation for these people that they are seeking to invest in your name. And for those of us, Lord, who don't have an idea of who it might be, don't necessarily see the opportunity that we have for this, God, I pray that you would reveal to us, that you would bring someone into our lives, or help us to see the people in our lives for whom we could do this. And God, we pray that we really would be a family, your family, that we would be involved in this great privilege of raising up people to know and love you and to walk in the ways of Jesus. So, Lord, would you take all of this and through your Holy Spirit, apply it to the hearts and minds of every person who's participating in this service. And God, would you help us to take that step of faith as we finish our time together, that we would bring glory to you as we continue to seek to be disciples who disciple, and that we would all be more like Jesus each day. It's in his name we pray. Amen.